I talked to someone for $5. That was my market research. No McKinsey told me that. $5 coffee. That's it. So, and I tell these stories because I want people to recognize that you don't need to spend millions of dollars in like, or do crazy. I don't believe in those type of things. I'm not a, I don't believe in you need to have all this crazy shit. Like, you have an internet connection, you have a little bit to spend on coffee, and you have three meals a day and your water, you have a roof over your head. You have everything you need to build a $1 million business.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Hustle to Freedom podcast, where I show you that you don't have to be a natural born entrepreneur to build a business that gives you time freedom, location freedom, and financial freedom. My name is Ryan Helms, and in just 27 months, I paid off over $209,000 in debt, quit my 9-to-5 job, and started building my dream business that scaled to six figures of income in less than 6 months. And on this podcast, I'll be sharing exactly how I did it and bring on some awesome guests that are either doing it or have already done the same thing. So if you're a freedom chaser and you want to fast track that process, this is the podcast for you. And also, be sure to head over to gritandhustle.co to grab your free copy of the Side Hustle Journal. But for now, let's hop in to today's episode. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Hustle to Freedom podcast. I've got a really, really special guest for you guys today. So get ready and get excited. Today, we're going to be chatting with Preddy. Preddy, how did you pronounce your last name again?
It's Tiwari. So Tiwari. People read the name everywhere, but they always ask me, man, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. So I spell it pretty, but I say Preddy Tiwari. So that's how I go by. And it's actually an Indian name. So it's actually long for Pradyuman, as we talk about off air.
Yep. Yeah, man. Cool. Well, Preddy, I appreciate you being on. I'm super excited for the value that you're going to share. So guys, before we were talking, you know, it's going to be a good interview because Preddy was like, hey, I really don't want this to be about me. I want this to be about providing value to your audience. So that's always a good sign when somebody says that before the interview starts, because that means they're going to be authentic and they're really approaching this from the right angle. So I'm super excited for what he's going to share. He's done a lot of stuff. And if you don't mind, like, what's the elevator pitch for kind of like how you started into this whole world of business and kind of what you've done up until now?
Yeah. So, well, people ask me, what do you do? Because you do all these like different businesses. I have a real estate business. I own a supplement company. I've started and sold a little bit close to over 30 businesses now. And so people ask me, what do you do? Like, what is it? And I always say, I take underperforming assets and try to make them perform as strongly as possible. And I turn them around. And that's literally my thing. And that's always, I've had a knack for seeing just things that I, you know, just like a lot of people don't recognize it. They don't see the opportunity. And I go in there and there's small things that I do. And then they end up having big impact. So that's really the thing. I started in entrepreneurship in my teenage years. Well, I've actually been selling stuff for a long time. This has just been my passion, which is speaking to people, getting them excited about things, helping them out, and then selling products. I've been doing that since I've been a kid. I've been selling like with shoes, stuff on eBay and Amazon. I've been doing this for forever. But I had my first LLC, my first year of college. I was 18 years old. And one of the first businesses I had. And, you know, one of the things, I was very passionate. It was in the health and fitness space. And that business grew. And it was all organic as far as like not putting in, you know, didn't have investor money. There's no VCs, any of that stuff. The good old fashioned way you build a business. And I was able to scale to such an extent where I was able to sell the business to a pretty large entity, you know, still in my teenage years, which, and that story of me being able to start a business, have employees, scale the business, and sell the business, that kind of traveled and that became my my story. And then the rest of it kind of followed. And my thing always to people is you have to be competent. And once you're competent, once you show people that you're able to do something and you're able to, you know, do what you say you're going to do and do it well, that becomes your story. And then some of the rest of the pieces, they fall in place, one or the other, by showing competency. So having done that, then other opportunities came my way. And here we are many years later. So
that's awesome. And I love what you said about like showing competency, doing what you say you're going to do. Because so you may not know this, but so I'm just getting into the entrepreneurship space. So I've been doing this podcast for a while and it was kind of my journey of figuring it out because I've been in the corporate world for like 10 years. Mm-hmm. I was the type of person that didn't know what the hell an entrepreneur was. Definitely wasn't in me from a young kid. I wasn't selling anything when I was young. So this was like something I just got interested in. Got really fascinated with the concept of kind of like building and owning a business. So I've like August. So right now it's mid-September. So about a month and a half ago, I quit my job, came into this, and we'd been building our content marketing agency for about 6 months mm-hmm. up until that point. So just this year. And I've been amazed in the space how many people don't do what they say they're going to do, like, or they just do it like half-ass. Mm-hmm. And there's so many times that I don't feel like we're doing as good of a job as we say we're doing. And then we just get praised like, oh my God, you guys are doing so much, so well, or so much better than X, Y, and Z. And I'm just like, what the hell are they doing? Are they not doing anything?
Right. Yeah. It's you know, and I turn a table like, but that comes from, I guess, somewhere. And people, you know, I think one of the big questions people have now is about branding. I want to be an influencer. I want to be, you know, I want to have a brand on Instagram. And like, what should I do? What should I not do? And you know, and I always tell people is like, people will follow your stuff when you've done stuff. Like that's the best way, the best way to attract leads to your business. The best way for people to say, hey, man, I want to sign up for your program is results. Like there's no, you know, there's no substitute for that. Like tomorrow, if like Bill Gates is like, hey, I want to start an academy and I want to sell a course where I'll tell you about how I did stuff, he will be fully
sold out.
Yeah, but what? Because it's Bill. He doesn't have to do quote unquote, he doesn't have to buy Facebook ads and all this. Like he doesn't have to do it because his results speak loudly and he's impacted so many people that is his biggest marketing. My biggest marketing can be that I did X really well over and over and over and over again. Like that is my brand. I have a skill. I've mastered it. I'm great at it. I'm one of the best at it. And then, so if I want to have people to influence, then they will understand that they'd want to come to me for help because I have done something. So I don't think like the best marketing you can always do is to be competent. I'm a big proponent of that. So, you know, what you guys are doing with the podcast, like you're, you know, if you look at you guys' podcast, you don't miss shows. Like there's a whole library of shows, like all the time, consistently performing, coming out shows, you know? And so I think that alone is just saying what you're going to do. Cause it's such a simple thing. Some people say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but they don't follow through with their shit. So if someone says, hey, I'm going to do that next year and they do it, like, oh really? You actually did that stuff? Wow. That's awesome. Just such a simple thing of you saying what you're going to, hey, write a song. I'm going to start a blog. I'm going to start a small podcast. And you said you're going to do it at a Christmas dinner. And next Christmas, people are like, how's your podcast doing? Oh, I started one and I have 10 subscribers. It doesn't matter, but you did it. You follow through what you're going to say. That alone is you're putting yourself, you know, at the higher rank because you did what you said you're going to do. And then you start showing competency. And that's how you start building like you have. Look at your podcast. Look how many people listen to your stuff. It's because you're competent and you're consistent with it, you know?
Yeah. How do you, so talking about, you know, developing this reputation, having this competency, how do you recommend like people, so once they've done something and they've established this competency, how do they like quote unquote put it on display? So maybe they're not, you know, building and selling $1 million company and getting that type of visibility. So like, how do you recommend people put stuff like that on display so that then people can say like, oh, look what that person did. Like that might be somebody good to work with.
Help people. I think that's the biggest thing. You'll notice like people in your community will see that you're doing something that you have shown some proof of that you can do something well. Like for me, people used to ask me how I'm so good at multitasking. Cause I was at school, I was going to law school. I was bodybuilding competitively and wanted to become professional, which I became in law school when I was building businesses. So the first question that people ask me, like, Pretty, how do you do this? Like, how do you become so productive? And so I would just give people ideas and talk to them about it. And so when I started my company, Azith, where we sell supplements that help people become more productive, it's just a natural extension of who I am. And so that became my brand. So I don't have to put it really out to display. Like, it's just who I am all the time. And so I think the best way to put it to display in the first people that are going to be interested in what you have to offer and want to be part of that, you know, the tribe that I always talk about are going to be the people that are closest to you that are actually, you know, people that are maybe a degree or 2 degrees away from your first part of your tribe. And I think that is really important. So you do that by helping people, but other people in close into your network will notice that and they'll come to you. Like if you have a great physique, people will come to you and ask, hey man, like, what are you doing? Like, you have tips on training? What do you eat? What do you do that? And then some people will say, dude, I can't ask you this much for free. I'll pay you for it. Just tell me what to do. There's your first customer. So you build your body up first. You live that lifestyle first. You clean up your diet. You start training, you go to the gym and you look great and you feel fit. People in your, I don't know, friends, family, they will come to you and ask you, and there's your first client. And so it's not really about people have constantly this idea, okay, I need to start a business because I hate my job. Okay, let's do a Facebook advertising course. Okay, sure. So you now know everything about Facebook. You know how to ads work and all that stuff, but what are you selling and why would people buy from you? You know what I'm saying? So I think that's, you need proof of concept. You need a good good product that has worked before. And the first degree of people that should reach out to you are all organic. They're not going to be people that you pay for, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So you talked about, you know, you were doing all these different things. And so people looked at you as, you know, productive, right? But I think a big piece of that when it comes to building businesses, you as an individual get more productive. This is my take on when you build good systems and processes into your business. Like that allows you to, it almost allows you to have this, for lack of a better word, like illusion of being more productive than maybe you actually are. Cause things are working without you having to touch them. Yep. So like, how have you developed that skill of like building systems? Cause I know if you go in and you help people, turn around businesses. I would imagine, I've never done it, but I would imagine that a big piece of that is coming in and improving the systems and the processes that they 100%. Have in place.
100%. This is the number one reason why a lot of businesses that want to scale, not all businesses want to scale, that want to scale, they can't. They hit a revenue, hit a max, and then they don't know what to do. And then a lot of them actually help out. And then what's the number one thing? And I go to it's usually his family business or a business with less than 20, 30 employees. And they will, you know, I'll come to them like, okay, man, like, what is it that you're doing on a day? Just write it down. And so like, man, I'm not going on vacation. I'm working 80, 90, 100 hours. I've just been crushing it, but we just can't get to that next level. What's going on? I was like, dude, write down everything you're doing in a day or in a week. So to write it down, I look at the list. And this is how I categorize things. Task, 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 task. And I look at it and I was like, bro, you're not an entrepreneur. You're a taskmaster. All you do is tasks. You shouldn't be doing that stuff.
You have
and
a
it's
job.
Obviously hard. That's a hard conversation. Like, dude, what are you talking about? I sacrifice like hundreds of hours. And my thing has always been like, you know, and I know like just a lot of guys like Gary Vee, they talk about sacrificing going, and I totally believe in that, man. I believe like work ethic, nothing will ever beat that. But there's a point of like, you're sacrificing things, but it needs to be worth sacrificing for, like, or you don't have to be miserable. Like it's not, I don't believe in like being miserable. Like I'm not miserable. I literally like, I want to be here and talk to you. Like I love this shit. Right. So I'm not miserable. Oh my God. Like, so I don't believe in that. Right. So what they were doing a lot of times, they're spending all these hours and they're spending time away from their family and not going, they're making sacrifice after sacrifice, but they're just doing tasks. So why am I talking about that? I categorize things in my head, which things are task, which things are strategy. And as an entrepreneur, if you really want to scale your life, you need to figure out how you can outsource tasks as quickly as possible and keep the strategy things to yourself. And that I think is the biggest, that's how you put systems in place. And many of us, we don't do that. We are like an entrepreneur. We start, you know, like I'm like myself, and I'm talking to an audience that potentially isn't, you know, starting or is at the point where like, I'm going to raise a ton of money and go to, you know, a big VC firm and raise like $100 million. That's, you know, we're talking maybe a business that's bootstrapped. Those are businesses that I love to start, right? And so at that point, you have to be like, okay, you're building a business by yourself on your laptop, nights after nights. So what happens is in your mind, you're like, dude, I'm used to working alone and I got this business to making maybe $500,000 or $1 million by myself. So I don't trust anyone else. I just don't trust them. All the people that I want to hire, they all suck. And we say that all the time. I hear entrepreneurs, dude, I can't hire anyone. Everyone's so lazy.
Nobody will be as good as me.
No one was good. And the problem with that is that maybe that's true, but the problem that you have to ask yourself, okay, so if you want to do everything, even if you're the best, most hardworking person on planet Earth, you have limitations as a human. And I think that's where you have so much ego because you've built everything by yourself. You don't think no one's going to be as good as you. You have to ask yourself, are you really that good or are you just bad at delegating? So I've come to terms very early on in my business career. If someone does the job 70 to 75% as good as I can, I outsource that. That's okay. And I stay with that person and I teach them And I'm not like, hey, do this stuff. And if they don't do it right, I'm not like a helicopter parent, like sitting on their desk. Oh no, you didn't do it right. You know? And we know parenting, parents do this a lot of times, right? They're helicopter parents. They give their kid freedom, but not really. They're always watching over. And what happens when the kid goes out in the real world?
Right. Bad shit, crazy.
Yeah. They go nuts, right? They do stupid shit because they can't handle it, right? They're not actually independent. So good parents, they know when it's time to let go. They build up their children. And then when it's time to let go, the children thrive in that environment because they have been taught and they felt respect from their parents that, you know, they know what they're doing. And so you need to be able to do that with your freelancers, with your VAs, with your employees, anyone that you work with. Give them respect, work with them, coach them. It's okay if they make mistakes. It's not the end of the world. They don't hate your business, you know. So I think that's been key thing. So how to build systems, the first thing I do in place, like, okay, tasks, strategy, tasks should be outsourced, and we will coach people and we'll set up systems and train people how to do that. And then strategy stuff, you do yourself. And so people always ask me, I don't know how to do, I don't know what strategy, I don't know what's this. I have a very simple test for people. I call it the music test. If I can do something and I can listen to music at the same time, I should outsource it. It doesn't require my full brain. So that's what I do. It's a very simple task. So.
No, this is good. I want to talk about this a little bit more because I feel like, you know, speaking from personal experience, I think I'm in a very good position to relate with a lot of the listeners because I, for the past, you know, year and a half of this podcast or year, whatever it's been, I've been kind of like the reporter. Like I've been interviewing people and just being the medium for that, right? But through that process, I found my way and then started the business. So now I can share some of the knowledge that I'm gaining along the way as well. So I think saying that because I think this is one of the most important pieces for somebody starting a small business, an online business, whatever it may be, because this is stuff that I'm going through right now. And, you know, fighting that no one's going to do it as good as me thought right through your head. And the funny thing is, like, when you finally do outsource it, so for example, when we first started this business, my partner and I were doing everything,
right?
A to Z, soup to nuts, 100%. It was just us. It's cool because it's technically all profit, right? At that point, you know, we put a shit ton of time into it.
Yep.
But then we, like, you start growing. If you want to scale, like, you can only do that so much. So then you start hiring on people. Like, so I'm doing like graphic design and stuff. And I'm like, oh man, like these people can't do it as good as I am. But then you said it so well. It's like, they just have to do it like 80% as good as you. And then you can take the time to coach them through that. And then once you get there and you coach somebody on exactly the details, because you can only put so much in like a work instruction or an SOP document. Like some of it just has to come through like iterations of the process and getting understanding what you as the process owner want that end result to look like. So I think, but once that person's in place and they're good, like having good team members makes your life so much easier. Like, when I think about some of the people we've hired recently, it just makes me smile because I'm like, man, they're so much better than I am at this.
But see how like your attitude about it is just already positive. Like if you go in there thinking all employees suck and all freelancers suck, well, that's what you're going to find. Like if you put that shit out there, you're going to find the worst, like bottom of the barrel. Like that's life. So you need to go in there with like a real positive attitude. And I always go in there like, dude, if I bring you on, like, I want you to do well. And I think big part of like just corporate America and like how we're structured, and I'll relate a lot this to parenting because it's all about leadership, but I think there's a lot of blackmail involved. And like, what am I talking about blackmail? Well, you know, look at how, I mean, I'm a lawyer. Look how law firms do it. Oh, if you leave like a year early, we're not going to give you a bonus. Like if you don't do this, we're not going to get half your salary. So we're telling people that in order for them to like, we're going to blackmail you to stay. That's not a good thing. Like if I'm a parent, if I'm telling a kid, hey, if you don't do this, then I'm going to do this or I'm going to take away your time. Like, yeah, why is the kid not doing it? Because they're afraid of you or they don't want to have the repercussion, but they're not doing it because they know it's wrong. You know what I'm saying? Or I don't want employees to stay with me or to work with me because they're afraid that if they leave, they're not going to get a paycheck. I don't want those type of people. You don't want those type of people. Who do I want in my life? Who are the best friends I want? Who are the best employees I want? Who are the people that I want to have any type of relationship with? The people that really want to be there. The people that wake up and say, Ryan, man, dude, it's Monday. It's 9 o'clock. I'm outside the parking lot. I want to work right now. I don't want to wait till 9. I want to come in at 8 o'clock. I want to come at 7. I have in my workplace right now of employees. And like, I go sometimes at night to check, you know, just check in the luck. There's people, every single person is there. Everyone. People just don't want to leave. I have a buddy, who has a family, and he's like, dude, I just can't wait like when the weekend's over, because I just want to be here all the time. And so of course my business is going to scale, because everyone wants to be there. And you as the leader have to set that culture where people want to be in your life and want to work on your business. And by blackmailing people, that's not how it works. So I have a philosophy, like every month, everyone that works with me, I help them build up their resumes. I help them write their references, all their payments, bonus. If you leave early, like you want to leave to another position, I'll pay you your bonus. You can leave it anytime you want. And people are like, that's nuts, man. Freddie, how can you do that? Since I put that program, not a single person has ever left, because all of them want to be there. Of course, shouldn't you have a superstar team? Like everyone's excited to do, this is going to work. So I think not blackmailing, I think that's probably a smarter way to do it.
That's so cool, man. I know, like, we found that, again, I talk like I've been doing this forever, but just in the past, you know, 8 months of doing this, this business, just little things. Like today we sent one of our team members just a $20 bonus, like just random. Just, yeah. I mean, she's overseas, so mm-hmm. $20 to her isn't the same as 20 bucks to us. Yep. So just like randomly, and then she messages us right on Slack, and she's like, thank you so much. Like, that means a lot. I'm going to go get my daughter something. Just like a little tiny act of kindness, just random, like sporadic. I think stuff like that.
100%, dude.
Just little things can go a long way. Like you said, like not holding stuff over people's head, not saying like, yeah, we're going to hold your pay, or we're not going to give you your bonus, or all that kind of stuff. So it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And it comes to leadership style. Like, how do you want to be a leader? And I think a good leader's like, they understand what motivates people. Because you don't want people to do work. When you have a startup, like, let's be honest, like if someone hires you for a startup, they say this is the job position, like 9.99% out of 10, like 99% of the time, you're not going to do any of that stuff. You're going to do like 20 more things, right? So what keeps people, you need the most motivated hustlers, savages working for you. Like, that's just a fact. So if you're like maybe a GE or a Fortune 500 company, and you have like so many employees and you don't really care, it's just a cubicle job, they can do average performance and it's going to be okay. But in a startup, if you have a side hustle, you're scaling, you're bringing people in, even your freelancers, you're going to be on their ass. Like, dude, did you finish that? Where's the graphic design? Where's my podcast logo? Like, you want to be like, you want them to be the most motivated savages possible. You want them to perform their best work, not just any work. I want your best work. And you need to understand what are people's incentives and how do you help motivate them to get to that level. And you have to invest in people. As most in businesses, we don't spend any time with that. Okay, yeah. Just here's freelancers, you know, just do this. But if you want them for a long term, you need to invest. Like, dude, what? Tell me about your life, man. Like, what's going on? What motivates you here? Maybe, you know, that girl that you send the $20 for, maybe she has a kid and that's important to her. Maybe family is important to her. Maybe just take an interest in people's lives. I spend a lot of time. I think most of my time right now is not doing any, I don't go and do any technical things for any of my positions. You know, I develop real estate across Boston. I have supplement companies and so many other businesses that I oversee, but I'm not doing technical things. I invest in relationships. This is all I do. I talk to people. How are you doing? What's up? What's your motivation? Like, how, you know, stuff like that, because that goes a longer way than me bossing people around. But it's a leadership style, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah. So talking about relationships and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, why are we on this podcast right now? Like, what, why are you you've got a lot of stuff going on. I'm just curious. Like, why are we on this right now? What's your angle on, like, why do you see it so important to invest in relationships in building your personal brand?
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple things. I think we can be as successful as we want in life, but if you have no one to share that with, what's the point? What is the first thing we do when we graduate? We call our parents, hey, I'm going to graduate. Parents show up to graduation. If you're graduating and you can have, like, I don't know, one of the best speakers show up and there's not a single person in your family show up, you feel like shit. Like, no one showed up, but you graduated. But like, what's the point in celebrating something when you don't have people to share that with? I think a big part of success is having people that you can share your success with. I'm a big proponent of that. Like, so if you're just by yourself, like, I can get a Ferrari and like, it's like, it doesn't meaningless if I'm just driving circles on the street. You know what I'm saying? Hey mom, you know, we went through a really hard time growing up. Look, all the stuff that I've been able to do. And then that moment is special. So I think a big part of relationships is understanding that you want to be able to share your success. It makes your success like 10 times better. The other part too, people, why are they important? Because like I said, man, like you can be, like, people know me, like I'm not someone who like sleeps a lot. I'm like all in 100%. I love working. This is all I do. I love the shit. But at some point, like, I have limitations because I can't do, I can maybe build a $4 or $5 million business by myself on a computer. That's it. But if I want to be, if I want to be 10 million, 20 million, 50 million bigger, I need people. And they're going to get me to the next level. But it's not as a point in, hey, I need you. So like, what can you like, hey man, like what, like Ryan, what can you do for me? Like that's not the point. It's like, dude, I'm in an investor's relationship. I want to, you know, talk to you. Hope, you know, you and I will keep messaging each other. And if down the line, something synergy happens, that's fine. But like the point being is that you need, like, business is people. Success is people. You need them all your life. So the biggest mistake that a lot of entrepreneurs, they do is that how they start, they think that that's how they should finish, because we have the concept in our head, if it isn't broken, why fix it? Well, I don't agree with that. What got you here in life, like if you got to a business that's making $1 million, it's not going to get you to a $10 million business. You have to reinvent yourself constantly. So if it's not broken, don't fix it. That works if you want to stay the same. But if you want to fix and get a better car and engine, you have to not only fix it, you have to have a new manual. So I don't agree with that mindset. So I think you constantly need to meet people. I still have a concept where every single day, at least 5 days a week, I have coffee, have lunch or dinner with someone else, like just any other person.
5 days a week?
Yeah, minimum. Every day. Wow. Every day. Yep, every day. So every Sunday, I plan out who I'm going to have coffee for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It can be anyone. It can be someone from a different industry, someone that's on a contact list Facebook that I haven't, you know, that is in Boston that I haven't reached out with. It can be totally someone totally. And that's how you're going to learn the best things, because I was noticing, dude, like, you know, a lot of times I'm just grabbing lunch quickly and eating by myself and watching, I don't know, like a documentary and watching some sports. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I'm not learning shit. I'm like, what should I watch? Like, what should I pay for a course? What should I invest in? A Starbucks coffee cost me $5. And if I get it for the other person, maybe $7 or $8, $10, whatever. That's it. But guess what I get? I get insight. I learn from other people. From this conversation, I'm learning, you know, from you as well. And so as an entrepreneur, we're building shit by ourselves all the time. And we are in our own world. And we're like, man, let's do a market study. What was important to people? Like, what do customers want? Let me do a McKinsey research. Let me do some... Dude, talk to people like on the street. Like, I'm in Boston right now. There's like hundreds of thousands of people that live right in downtown Boston. Like, and I'm here on my computer doing like research what people want. Go and talk to them. Like, if you talk to people, they'll tell you what their problems are. They'll tell you what motivates them. They tell you what the new trend is. They'll tell you what the new marketing things. Like, you should just talk to people that aren't in your circle. That's one of the best things I think that you can do. So investing in people, 100%.
Just curious from your coffee... Mm-hmm. gatherings or coffee dates, whatever the hell you want to call them, that you had. What's the biggest takeaway or the biggest opportunity that's arisen from just sitting down and having coffee from somebody?
Yep. So I have met. So I became a developer from a buy and hold like investor. So I met some guy and he was like, "Pretty, I think you know a lot of stuff about real estate development." I was like, "No, I don't." He's like, "I think I can teach you how to do this." And I was like, okay. And he ended up becoming, he was a broker that I'd known from, I don't know, randomly somewhere. I think I met him online through Instagram. And now I'm a real estate developer because of that coffee. Am I joking? Like, my career changed. And then I've met people, a lot of times people will DM me on Instagram and I'll be like, "Oh, you're in Boston, let's meet up." I have people that are actually working for me, employees. I've become real estate development. I've gotten real estate deals. I have partnered with retail opportunities for my supplement companies. I mean, the it's just like, I can't tell you how many times like this is actually materialized, but I don't go in there thinking like, right, oh my God, like I don't care.
What am I going to get out of this?
Yeah. Right? I'm more like, dude, what are you doing? And you're like, what's going on? I've heard some stuff that I just don't think about. Like, I don't know. I was building a supplement company and one guy was like, and I was saying, we're using this powder and we're mixing it and doing, he's like, "Wait, what do I have to do with the powder?" I was like, "You got to put it in water." He's like, "Well, how should I know that?" I was like, "Isn't it normal that you could take powder and you put it in water?" He's like, "No." And I was like, "Oh shit. People don't know that you got to take powder and mix it." So I went back on my label and I write, "You have to mix this in water and then drink it." And guess what? People were like, "Oh, thank you. Wait, we didn't know that." People didn't know what to do with it. So just general shit that it's in your mind, because right, in my world, everyone knows what to do with capsules and when to take it and just stuff like that, man. It's just like super, super, super intuitive. It's a quick story that I do right now is I develop a lot of real estate and I was talking to the guy and he's like, "Dude, I just
real quick for somebody that may not know, when you say you develop real estate, what do you mean?"
I build apartment complexes in Boston. So anywhere from, I started off with like 4 units, 5 units. Now we do 20, now 80. The biggest one is going to be 99 units. We build up large apartment complexes. So we're in Boston. A lot of times there isn't parking. And so that's a problem, because does that affect the sellout price? So I don't know. I just started talking to a lot of people our age, and like, man, I don't really have a car. I use Uber. And I heard it all the time. And I was like, wait, do we need parking? Maybe we don't. Like, well, we don't need parking. So what I did is I call up Uber. I'm like, hey, I'm a real estate developer in Boston. Can we do like a deal where maybe we can do some sort of subscription with all my properties? And they're like, yeah, we kind of have a beta program for that. Lyft had it and Uber had it. And so what ends up happening in a lot of my condos, if you live there, you get free Uber for the rest of your life from my place. So when that's a huge pitch. So I don't have parking, but I have Uber. So if you leave one of my condos that you've bought and you go somewhere, you go to work, it's free Uber rides. And you can go to work anywhere as long as you go from the condo and it will check, right? So the subscription program. So, but like that was a huge sellout. Like that was amazing. It was like, oh, wow, how did you think of that? I talked to someone for $5. That was my market research. No McKinsey told me that. $5 coffee, you know, that's it. So, I tell these stories because I want people to recognize that you don't need to spend millions of dollars in like, or do crazy. I don't believe in those type of things. I'm not a, I don't believe in you need to have all this crazy shit. Like you have an internet connection, you have, you know, a little bit to spend on coffee, and you have 3 meals a day and your water, you have a roof over your head. You have everything you need to build a $1 million business.
Yep. Yeah. And relationships are so big, and this is something I'm learning. So I actually suck at this. So I'm not one to give advice, but thankfully my business partner, and it's the reason we're business partners, is because we have what I suck at, he's good at, and what I'm good at, he sucks at. So he's good at the relationship side of things. And it's amazing. Like we quickly grew this into a 6-figure business, and it all came off of just literally just talking to people on like Facebook and Instagram. And that was it. Like before we even had done this service for people, like people wanted to buy this service from us just because they knew who we were and they liked us.
Yep. And I'm sure like even having this podcast, you're talking to so many different guests, so many cool ideas and that's just, it's right here. But what is it? Yes, it costs you your time, but you don't have to, you know, and I'd always get a little bit upset in like, for them, because I sometimes people come to me and like, dude, I need to raise money. And I was like, where's your, I don't have product. I don't have anything. I just need to raise money. Like I just know, but like, who told you that? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, do you have a money problem or you have a creativity problem? You're just not creative enough. Because like, if you're not creative, like all the money in the world is not going to solve that shit. You're not an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs, like what's a true entrepreneur? People like yourself. Like you start something with limited resources and you figure out how to stretch it as far as possible. We're super creative. We're inventors. We invent shit. Like entrepreneur is not someone who's on Instagram and has a Bugatti. That's not an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur is someone who's like this creative person. They were always the most creative person in the room. They'd figure out how to, like with $5, how to do all this extra shit. And like, dude, how did you figure that out? How'd you talk that up? How'd you negotiate that? They figure out how to make money and resources go as far as possible. And they understand opportunity, stuff that no one sees. Like, dude, how'd you see that? That's an entrepreneur to me. And so when someone comes to me, dude, I need 50K. What are you needed for? I don't know. I just need to start this idea. But I don't think you're creative enough, man. Like you haven't sold a product. You know what I'm saying? So
what do you feel about, all these Instagram entrepreneurs with their Bugattis that they rent, and their Lambos that they rent, and maybe some of them buy them, but they probably live in it. What do you think?
Well, I don't know what to think about. I mean, I don't know. And then what? I mean, so you have one and then you go on Instagram. And so what happens, a lot of them, they'll, and you know, for your audience, I know there's a lot of people who have legit stuff that they have courses and training. You know, that's awesome. If you're really helping people, that's great. But I think one of the most unfortunate things I see happening is that all these like Facebook courses or like these things that people sell, like, oh, make like $25,000 in a day on Shopify ads by doing this little trick and then this lead magnet. And it's just like, you're scamming people. And at some point it's going to catch up with you. So maybe you make 100,000, but like, it's not sustainable. So my question, and I know it's not the cool thing as a millennial, we should not talk about sustainability. We shouldn't talk about long-term relationships. It's boring. But guess what? Those are the people that are going to, it's about how long can you last? And I think there's no lasting power in that because yes, Instagram is awesome, but like we forget, like there was something before Google, Ask Jeeves and all these like different platforms and no one's using that shit anymore. Like at some point Instagram is not going to, it's going to be something else. And so what are you going to do then? Like, what if, like, you know, what are you going to do? So I think it's unfortunate that a lot of them are scamming people and they're making shit up. That's not true. I think that's the worst part that you can be, but I think, well, karma will catch up to that because, like, it's not sustainable. Like, at some point people will see through your shit and there's just no way that your business will last. So I'm mostly interested, and I'm talking about scaling businesses. It's like, how long can you make your business last? Like, is that, I don't care about talent. I really don't care. I don't care about the high school prodigy or the kid who was great in college. I care about the person who was great in high school, then went to college and then became a pro and was a great pro and has a long career. Those are the people that we call legends. Those are the people that go into the Hall of Fame. You know, it's not the people that were just a flash in the pan. And so you have to always ask yourself, what are you doing for the long-term sustainability of your business? And otherwise, you're building cash flow, not really a business.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. I kind of want that popped in my head, but I want to loop back to the getting coffee thing real quick. So, because I'm curious, because I want to do it.
Yeah.
So, like, how are you finding... I'm sure your audience is, or your network's pretty big right now, but how are you finding these people every week to meet up with? Are you all these people in your phone, or like how?
Yeah. A lot of them. So initially when I started this like much earlier, I would go on like places where the people that I want to network with are online. So I would go on, like, for instance, real estate, there's a website called Bigger Pockets, and you can send people messages on there, like a private message, like, dude, I love what you like. I want to learn from you. DM is really great. Now it's a little bit different. I get a lot of DMs from people, and then I'll meet them, and then they're like, oh, Prady, I think you should meet that person. I'm like, oh, give me their contact information, shoot them a message, or they'll shoot me a message. So now, of course, the tables have turned a little bit. So now, you know, I get a lot of the messages, but back in the day, go on. You'd be so surprised if you can go, anyone that you follow online, maybe it's a podcaster in your area, maybe it's someone who writes a blog, someone that you just bring their, you know, love their stuff from. Find 10 people like that and shoot all of them a message. You'll be surprised how many of them actually will respond back. They will, actually. Because if, you know, anyone who really cares and says they do, and they will respond back to you. Maybe it will take a little bit longer, but they will respond. And I know I always respond to people all the time. And so I think that's the best. Just go on Instagram, send them a personal message, go on Facebook. And that's a great thing about DM. You send them a DM like, hey man, I love the shit you're doing. I listened to your podcast. It was awesome. I want to meet up. Every time I do a podcast interview, I meet at least with 15 people that message me. And if they're in Boston, I'm always down. So, you know, I think that's don't be shy about that. Cause it's not really a waste of time, you know, because most of us have an extra 45 minutes or an hour to spare. So.
Yeah. And I always think about, you never know also. So I think a lot of people would be like, oh, that person, like, they're not, whatever. Maybe they're not to the level they think, or whatever. You never know who knows who.
No.
Like, you never know that.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. Like, what's level? Like, are you really better? Like, you know, and this is also an ego thing. I want to say quickly something for a lot of entrepreneurs. I see them do a lot of like motivation. Dude, you're awesome. You're building a business that's awesome, but you're not better than anyone else. Like, this is just a job. Like, my job is to, like, I'm an entrepreneur, quote unquote. I build homes and I sell supplements. That's my job. But I'm not better than a teacher. I'm not better than a firefighter. I'm not better than someone who's serving our country. So, like, just tone it down a little bit. Like, so you're not better than anyone else. And I see a lot of entrepreneurs, they look down, oh my God, see that guy, he works a 9-to-5. Huh? Like, dude, no. People who work 9-to-5s are also killing it. They're also, I know a lot of people who are employees and they're fucking crushing it. They're hardworking people. Well, so to say that you're better, you know, so
it's not true. And you can't look down on somebody working a job, because if you're building a business, you need great people like that.
I know. I love that. I always cringe because I see a lot of entrepreneurs like, oh man, you need to escape the 9-to-5. And I'm like, dude, imagine if someone's listening to you that wants to work for you. Now you're like, now you just built animosity. Like, right. You don't want that. But I think deep down, if you think that you're better because you're an entrepreneur and you drive a better car, you're losing. Because guess what? The people, you're a servant. Just like our politicians, what happens to politicians? They got to serve the public. When they don't, that's not good. You as an entrepreneur, you also a public servant. You serve your customers. You're not better than them. If there's no customers, you got no business, bro. So I think that's really important. Like, care about people, because like, these are people that are going to buy your stuff. And so they are the ones who are putting the Bugatti that you drive is because of your customers, not because if they don't want your shit, you're not driving that. So I definitely think that to go back to your point, like, no one is, I mean, some people are literally like really are so unmotivated and they have nothing really to offer, but it doesn't matter to me. Like, I'll meet with teachers, I'll meet with people who are doing something else, maybe someone who works in tech, I don't care. It's just someone that's like, oh dude, I'm interested. I don't know anything about that stuff, dude. Like, I don't know much about artificial intelligence, dude. You work at you know, at MIT or something. I don't know. I want to hear about that, man. That's awesome. Like that's it. There's no like, you're better. That's bullshit. I don't believe in that. So,
yeah. And the more I get into this, the more I realize like, it's definitely like, my mind has shifted a little bit because this lifestyle is definitely not for everybody.
No.
Like before, you know, like, cause everybody wants to, most of the time they're probably like selling a course or something, but they want to sell the dream, right? They want to sell that, like, this is, you should do this. You should be your own boss. But dude, it's tough, man. And I'm like, I see it more and more clear every day. Like, this isn't for, I'm loving it, right? I'm loving the challenge. It's kind of like a game, right? How can you get better at it? But man, like, I think about some of the people that I know, like where I used to work at and stuff. I'm like, yeah, like, this definitely isn't for everybody. Like, some people like would be stupid to quit their job. Like, you're making six figures a year at your job. Like, stay there. Do not do this.
Yeah. I thanks for saying that, dude. If this is a really good conversation. I couldn't agree more. I think when it's purely about money, you look at ROI. Like, if you make $50,000 a year working for someone else, and if you can make $55,000 or $60,000 a year being an employer, not an employee, if you're doing purely for money, stay an employee. Like, seriously, like, it's way better. You get benefits, you get vacation. When you're in the weekend or something, you don't have to be totally present all the time. You're not responsible for other people's lives. Like, you're not. So, quote unquote, it's actually better because you're going to spend like twice or three times more time for our, so the ROI is actually worse. So if you're doing purely for money, don't do it. And I think the big thing that I already know a trigger in my head when people shouldn't be one, because it's constantly about them. How much am I going to make being an entrepreneur? Don't, like, it's not about you. Like, it's really not, because you are I'm responsible for, when I was in my early 20s, I was responsible for dozens and dozens of people's, their mortgages, their kids' college tuition, their retirement. Like, most college kids, they can't even pay their own bill on time. Now you're going to pay for 20 other people. Like, you can't pay your own shit on time. Like, imagine being responsible. I remember the first time I built the first business and a guy came into my office, me and my buddy were building it. I said, Preddy, I got to talk to you. I'm like, hey, what's up, man? And he comes to me, he said, Preddy, it could be, I just want to say, both you guys, like, thank you so much, because of you, I was able to send my daughter to college this year. And I looked at my buddy and I was like, wait, what did we just do? Like, in my mind, I'm like, not thinking about that, but you have such an impact. Like, if I fire that person or my business fails, like, that person and their family is going to be affected by my shit. Like, I can't go out at night, oh, it's 9 o'clock, let me go out and get drunk at a bar because I'm 20 years old. Fuck that. At that time, I became a responsible adult. I can't do certain shit anymore. I can't go out and get wasted, because in the next morning, if shit hits the fan, I'm not the only one to go. People's jobs and their careers and their family depends on this. As their main income is you providing for them. So you better grow the hell up. But this is not for everyone. And there's nothing wrong if you realize that this is not for you. Like, you're not a bad person. You're not a lazy person, and being an entrepreneur is not for you, because we've conflated that. Oh, if you're a hard worker, be an entrepreneur. It's not true. You can crush it at your job, and maybe that's the right thing for you. So I actually never sell this dream. I don't sell any courses. I don't sell any of that shit. I just tell people, this is what I do. Every summer, I have about 24 interns. And I think at the end of the summer, I think 99% of them realize they don't want to do this shit. That's fine. It's awesome. That's good. Because now you at least know what you don't want to do. So I just wanted to put that out there, so people to recognize, like, building a scalable business, the responsibility that goes with that, you know?
Yeah. And to me, talking about the responsibility, that's also personally been the most gratifying part of this process. Mm-hmm. So again, it's been like 8 months up until this point. And over this process, when we've had one of our team members say, you know, I was living in this house and now I can afford to move across town and live in a much better neighborhood. And I feel so much safer for my family. Like, when I got a message about that, I was like, I was still at my day job. I'm like sitting at my day job desk, like eating my lunch. And I'm like, man, like that, it was like kind of like mind blowing. It's like, wait,
but don't you think, Ryan, that's how you're wired though? Because I think for a lot of people, they'll feel like really pressured and they wouldn't feel comfortable with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I actually think, what do you think about, I think it's your wiring, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that's for everyone. Cause if I message, I know a couple of people are like, if I were to message them, like, dude, because of you, I'm living a better, like, they'll freak out. I'm like, fuck, like, I don't think I can handle this responsibility. You know what I'm saying? So my opinion is that this is just how you are as a person, and it makes you happy, right? It doesn't make everyone, a lot of people be like caving that pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you're right. Yeah. It just gave me like the biggest sense of like gratification that, like, wait, like, I can like have this idea on my laptop.
Yep.
start building stuff on my laptop.
Yep.
And it generates money. I can hire people, give yep. them money, and they can create a better life for their family. 100%. Like that yep. whole circle is, it's just wild.
Yeah, but this shit should motivate you. That's what building business is about. I have I was recently on a show and I talked about this on my Instagram, but like, you're not a celebrity. Like, this is not Hollywood. You're not Brad Pitt. Like, you're building a business. So there's no celebrity lifestyle here. Like, you can be as successful as possible. Like, I've sold many businesses and yes, I have been able to get a lot of material things. It's awesome. But at the end of the day, like it's 7:20 and I'm going to be working until 3 or 4 in the morning and I might not always sleep. Sometimes I just pull up my car. Like, dude, I just sleep on the side. I don't have time to go home. So there is nothing glamorous about it because I'm like a engineer, like in a fucking lab that's building shit. Like, that's what you're doing. So that should motivate, the building shit should motivate you. There's no celebrity lifestyle. There's no one like, oh, clapping. Oh, like, oh, dude, you're awesome. Let me take like pictures with you. No one knows us. Like, this is not Hollywood. Like, you can build a $10 million business. No one doesn't know who the hell you are. Yeah. You can brand yourself on Instagram. That's great. But how many, we don't know. You're not a celebrity. You're never going to be Brad Pitt or The Rock. Like, you can amount, even like Jeff Bezos, like everyone knows who the hell he is, quote unquote. But if he walks on the street, he's not going to get like adoration from people. Like, people won't even know who's him. So this is not a celebrity life. If you're looking to be a celebrity, do that. Like, go to Hollywood, become an Instagram influencer. But for us, we roll up our sleeves every night and we go to work and we build shit. That's what we do. That's our job. We're engineers, we architects, we build stuff. And I think that's my pride. Like, I love that stuff. And I think that's how you're going to succeed all the time. And you have a superstar team that are working for you, that wants to be there for you. And it's like, dude, you know, man, Ryan, I want to be by your side and I will fucking ride and die with you to build this business. Dude, you're all set. Your business is going to grow and you're going to feel a lot of happiness from it. And then you're not going to feel like, shit, man, it's so late at night. I'm still here. You're going to love what you do. You know what I'm saying?
This has been an awesome conversation. I want to, last topic I want to cover, because I know you got a lot of shit to do. But I want to talk about like the mindset and what you do to keep your mindset right. Because this has been something I've been diving into a lot personally. And the more I get into it, and the more, you know, we're talking about like the pressure and the responsibility and all that. And you were talking about like some people may get overwhelmed and like cave under the pressure. I think it all comes down to like what you have going on up here. And those that can't see, I'm tapping on my brain right now. Like, it's all like what's going on in your head and how you're like processing things. So what do you, and so I've been diving into more on just, I don't know, have you ever read, for some reason, I want to think it's called Theater of the Mind, but it's not. I just read it and I'm totally blanking out right now. But it's all about like visualization and mindset and how do you create the picture of where you want to go. So it's a lot of like affirmation type of stuff. So I don't know like if you're into any of that type of stuff, but like what do you do to like keep your mind like on straight and making sure you're always like headed in the right direction and just dialed in?
Yeah. There's so many things that I do in my life that I think that assist, but deep down, like, this is what I want to do. Like, it has to, like, we all have an internal GPS, like a cord that guides us. And like the shit that you do that's going to make you feel the best has to be the stuff that's like in line with who you are. And at that point, like, even if you deviate, you always come back to it. Like, if I put it in my GPS right now, I'm trying to go to New York from Boston, like, And I take the wrong road, what's my GPS going to say? Oh, rerouting is going to bring you back all the time. Like, I can go in a ditch and my GPS keep working. So a woman is going to be like, oh, turn left, make a U-turn. Because that's what I program. So if you're programming like what you want to do in your life, what you're doing in your life, like if this is your true calling, like that's the most important. I think there's nothing that substitutes all the other stuff. You know, I go to the gym every day. That's like super important to me. I try to eat well. I surround myself with people that really want to be in my life, like all the stuff that I talk about, I do all that stuff. But at the end of the day, this is the stuff that I really want to do. And I think I want people to listen to the show. Like I will say, people listen, you know, when I speak, I want them to take one thing away, which is just do an inventory check. Just sit down. Like, dude, what do I really want, man? What do I really want? You know, not what society has told me, all that stuff. Like, what do I really want? Like, what is the stuff that I do? Maybe it's a project that I'm always working on. Like, that was like the shit that made me come alive. We are living the greatest time ever where you can, I mean, there's people making like $500,000 talking about toys on peanut butter on YouTube. Like, seriously. So you can have some crazy thing that you like to do and you can scale that. Like, don't worry about it. The money will come. There's enough money to be made from the most random shit today. So figure out what you really want to do. Like, what's your purpose? Like, what drives you? So for me, there's nothing more that I love than business. Like, I love this shit. So if I'm tired, it's like, dude, I haven't slept. I want to do business. Like I think about entrepreneurship. I think about scaling. I think about like, this makes me excited. So I don't really need to have, I don't need to have pep talks or motivational talks a lot because like, this is just what I love doing this shit. Like I just don't. Do you need a motivational talk to, I don't know, go to the movies or go to Six Flags or go to the club? No, no one's ever given me a pep talk to go out to the clubs ever. I never had, I was like, hey mom, I feel so tired, but I want to go to a club tonight. Can you give me a motivational talk? I was like, what's wrong with you? Why? Because that's entertainment for us. We, of course we want to go out. It's good shit. But what if that shit is business? What if that stuff is what you're working on, where you make your money? That's important. Because most of us, we try to get paid for stuff that we don't like. And the stuff that we really love, we do that for free. Like we do that as a hobby. Or is it on a Saturday, Sundays, we do the shit we love. And then in a 9-to-5, all we do is the stuff that we hate. And then we check, oh, why am I not wealthy? Well, because the stuff that you're asking people money for, you hate that shit. Ask people for money for the stuff you love to do, right? And I think at that point, you're finances, your career, all that stuff is gonna skyrocket. And so that's been that's super important. That's what I do. Like as a kid, I like to sell stuff, I like to talk, and I'm quote unquote monetizing that, but it's because I love doing this shit. Like I can talk on podcasts for hours and I have a podcast and I do this stuff and this is my work. Like I do this. Like people ask me, what do you do in a day? Dude, I network, I sell supplements, I build teams, scale them, I talk to people. That's it. That's what I do all day. And I build my own life like that. And yes, I get paid for that, but that's important. You know, so I get to answer your question, how to stay grounded. I do the shit that I should be doing, that I want to do.
Love it, man. And last question, promise this time, but I just keep getting these good ones. So you've been super real and authentic with us and not like any like foo-foo, like here's how you make $1 million type of stuff. So like, if you don't mind, what's the biggest failure that you've had? And like, what have you learned from it?
Yeah. To be honest, I think I've failed a little. There's a lot of businesses that haven't done well, processes that haven't failed. I think one of the things that's going to be useful for people because we're talking about scaling, one of the things that one time that actually didn't go really well is like, I was busy. This was like, you know, in my situation was different because a lot of people start businesses and then they fail a lot in the beginning and then they finally find something. My first real business that I started, I scaled and I sold it and it was a huge success. So I was like, dude, I got a formula for it. And so it was like the third or the fourth business we're building and I was at the point where I was going to sell this business and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to grow the business, sell it. And I remember we're super close to it and at some point, you know, people from basically, you know, people who now have sold a business, there's usually a private equity firm or another bigger company that comes in, they do the due diligence and they, you know, come into you and they want to buy your business. So we were at the last stage of negotiations. And I know the partners from the other company, they came to our facility. We had a manufacturing distribution facility, quite a large one we've scaled, and we're doing really well revenue wise. Like, we're really profitable. And at some point, a partner pulled me aside. It's like, Freddie, we can't buy your business. We have a problem. And I was like, what's the problem, man? Like what's wrong? Everything seems good. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, I had a really big problem. I was like, okay, well, what's your big problem? He's like, probably my problem is that you're here. And I was like, what are you talking about? What do you mean I'm here? I was like, I'm the owner of the company. Of course I'm going to be here. I was like, no, that's the problem. So what he was trying to tell me is that I was involved in everything. I was involved in manufacturing, in distribution, in the marketing, in the sales. I worked my ass off and I was doing everything. And he was like, Freddie, the problem is if I buy your business, this business is going to collapse because it totally depends on your input. You have all these employees there, but they're not really working. You're working and they're just following your orders all the time. There's no systems in place. And I remember they did not buy our business, but they bought another business because I follow what they're doing. And they bought a business that was barely breaking six figures. And we were in the 7+, like we were crushing at the time. And that was a big lesson for me that at the end of the day, what small businesses focus on profits for tomorrow or people all the time or the customers and big businesses that actually are getting sold, they focus on systems. And I recognized that other business had systems in place that if someone sold it, they could take it over and it was a more organized, efficient machine. And the other business was a lifestyle business that was basically dependent on me doing everything. The reason why I shared this story because we talk here and a lot of people in your audience, they're trying to build cash flow businesses. That's awesome. I love those too because you need that. But for a lot of people that are saying, man, I'm going to my 9-to-5, but I'm building a business after 5 o'clock. I wear my Superman cape and no one knows what I'm doing, but I'm building another business. But I want to take that business so I can replace my 9-to-5 income. And I want to scale. I want to have employees. I want to have 100 employees. You have, you know, big goals for that business. Listen to what I just said and don't make that mistake because that's going to end up biting you in the ass. And we talked about this, trusting and delegating stuff, outsourcing things. And that was something I didn't do that well in that business. And the result of that wasn't what I wanted. And it was a big lesson for me. I don't really see it as a failure because I feel like learning is never free. There's no such thing as a free education. It's just, there isn't. So if I made a mistake and yeah, I paid a price for it, whatever, I learned. But so I don't think there's ever like criticism. I always think there's feedback and there's never, sometimes you got to pay more for learning. And that was I had to pay for. So I can actually tell you the story now. So a lot of people are going to not hopefully make this mistake. So here's my thing back. So that was a big thing that always stick with me and why I'm such a big proponent of building systems, because it's going to bite you in the ass down the line.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I was at lunch today with my business partner and he was telling me about a quote. So this is all like secondhand,
yeah.
Re-quotations. But he was telling me about a quote that he had heard where a lady was interviewing a CEO of a big Fortune 500 company. And she was like, "What do you think is the key to success?" And he was like, "Making good decisions fast." And she was like, "Well, how do you make good decisions?" He was like, "By having experiences." And she was like, "Well, how do you have experiences?" He's like, "By having failures."
Right.
So yeah, have the failure. You learn from that experience.
Yeah.
You recreate yourself.
And to make it even faster though, like learn, like listen to this podcast and other, all the other episodes, and you will ask this question to many other people. Hey, how'd you fail? You're going to be, you know, there's another quote, right? So smart people learn from their own mistakes, but wise people learn from the mistakes of others. So if you've listened to this, like I've really drilled down the systems, and don't make this mistake, because I've just told you that this could be costly. I've experienced in this. So listen to all the stuff that you have to say. Listen to all the podcasts that Ryan has, and like you asking this question to many people, what's your failure? And people will tell you, then don't do that shit. Like if you want to learn quicker, then you don't have to waste money and time. So I think that's even fast track that further is, yes, sometimes you don't need to, I've always said experience takes sometimes too long, because I don't want to be like 60 years old to build my dream life, because like what's the point? So for me, it's like how to do it quicker. I was into podcasts like this. I ask that question all the time from business. Like, what was the thing that you wish you knew? And I don't just ask that because it's a soundbite. I want to really know. And then I don't do that because he told me not to do it. You know, like sometimes listen to your parents. Their parents tell you, don't do that, do that. And we still do it. And what do we say? Oh, our parents were right. So they're telling you what not to do. So I'm not going to do it. You know, sometimes you have to learn by yourself making a mistake, but other times business is a very costly mistake and you don't want to lose all that money. If someone's told you on a podcast, listen to this, it's free. Don't do that. You know?
Yep, for sure, man. Well, Preddy, I know we ran a little long here, so I appreciate you taking a lot of time to sit down and chat with us, man. It's, for me, it's been an awesome conversation. I hope you've enjoyed it as well. To wrap this thing up, like, where can people learn more about you and all the stuff you have going on?
Absolutely. People can go on GetAzoth, so GetAzoth.com. That's my company. We sell a productivity supplement, but really what we do is we sell people more time. People ask me what I do. I give people more time in their day to do the shit they should do. And they can find me, they can look me up, Preddy Tiwari. People have heard my name on social every time, but people always ask me how to spell it. So Preddy, and then the last name is Tiwari, Tewarie. Put me in Google and you can find me on Instagram. Shoot me a DM. I respond to all DMs. Sometimes it takes me a few days, but I respond to literally all of them. I have a few hours aside every few days in the week where I just respond to DMs. And so feel free to ask me any questions. I have my own podcast called The Enlightened Millennial, where I talk more about this stuff, where I talk about what to do as millennials. Same thing, how to scale, how to start a side hustle, how to grow that, stuff like that. So yeah, man, I'm very accessible. And dude, thanks for providing me this platform, man. I had a great time. Good conversation, man. This is a little coffee meetup, man. We got some good stuff for this.
Yeah. Hey, I really appreciate it. And I wanted to get more into the supplements. I guess we'll save that for another time. I'm actually going to order a bottle as soon as we get off. I've already got the website pulled up. So I'm going to order some as soon as we get off the call here.
Yeah, man, that's great. So anyone who wants to actually order, if you go on our website, getazoth.com, and you put in the code hustle, which is for the show, you get a pretty massive discount on me. So that's a little thing.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, I really appreciate that. Like you said, head over to the website. It'll be down in the show notes. If you need that link, use the code hustle, grab yourself a discount. If you want to take your performance to the next level, which I know I do, that's why I'm going to order a bottle as soon as I hit pause or stop on this interview here, man. Well, Preddy, thanks so much, guys. Go check out Preddy, everything he's got to offer. Obviously, this guy has some stuff you can learn from. Go check out his podcast, The Enlightened Millennial. Continue this knowledge that he's sharing over there as well. And thanks a lot, man.
Pleasure, brother.
And that's a wrap. I hope you all enjoyed that episode. Remember, you can find links to everything we discussed in the show notes below. And if you like this podcast and want me to keep bringing you great episodes each week, here are a few ways you can support the Hustle to Freedom podcast. First, take a screenshot of the podcast and send it to a friend who may like it. Second, I'm doing a drawing for a free copy of the Side Hustle Journal for every 5 iTunes reviews I receive. So if you want a chance to win, leave a rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcast and send me an email at hello@gritandhustle.co. Detailed instructions on how to do this are in the show notes below. Third, take your side hustle to the next level by implementing a sales funnel to turn your passive website visitors into paying customers with ClickFunnels, the number one sales funnel software in the world. You can get a free trial by going to gritandhustle.co/profit. And fourth, if you're interested in podcasting also, which is the fastest growing content medium in the world, head over to gritandhustle.co/podcastingmadeeasy to enroll in my course now. Until next time, keep hustling, my friends.